Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, chapter entitled The Lord in the Heart, text number 31.
Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam.
Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam.
Anandamandan. Anandamanandamayo vasane. Ananda mananda mayo vasane. Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya. Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya. Savai punaneha visajjatinga. Savai punaneha visajjatinga. Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam. Anandamananda mayo vasane. Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya.
Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya.
Savai punaneha visajjatinga.
Tena. By that purified. Atmana. By the soul. Atmanam. The super soul. Upaiti attains. Shantam. Rest. Anandam. Satisfaction. Anandamaya.
Naturally so being.
Avasane. Being freed from all material contamination.
Etam.
Such. Agatim.
Destination.
Bhagavatim. Devotional. Agata. Attained by. Yaha. The person. Saha. He. Vai. Certainly. Puna. Again. Na.
Never.
Iha. In this material world.
Visajjate.
Becomes attracted.
Onga.
For Maharaj Parikshit. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world, and he never returns. Translation responsibly. Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world. And he never returns. Purport. We should specially note in this verse the description of Gatim Bhagavatim to become merged in the rays of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as desired by the Brahmavadi impersonalist, is not Bhagavatim perfection. The Bhagavats never accept merging in the impersonal rays of the Lord, but always aspire after personal association with the Supreme Lord in one of the Vaikuntha spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. The whole of the spiritual sky, of which the total number of the material skies is only an insignificant part, is full of unlimited numbers of Vaikuntha planets. The destination of the devotee, the Bhagavat, is to enter into one of the Vaikuntha planets, in each of which the personality of Godhead, in his unlimited personal expansions, enjoys himself in the association of unlimited numbers of pure devotee associates. The conditioned souls in the material world, after gaining emancipation by devotional service, are promoted to these planets. But the number of ever-liberated souls is far, far greater than the number of conditioned souls in the material world. And the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha planets never care to visit this miserable material world. The impersonalists who aspire to merge in the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence of the Supreme Lord, but have no conception of loving devotional service to him in his personal form, in the spiritual manifestation, may be compared to certain species of fish who, after being born in the rivers and rivulets, migrate to the great ocean. They cannot stay in the ocean indefinitely, for their urge for sense gratification brings them back to the rivers and streams to spawn. Similarly, when the materialist becomes frustrated in his attempts to enjoy himself in the limited material world, he may seek impersonal liberation by merging either with the causal ocean or with the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence. However, as neither the causal ocean nor the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence affords any superior substitute for association and engagement of the senses, the impersonalist will fall again into the limited material world to become entangled once more in the wheel of births and deaths, drawn on by the inextinguishable desire for sensual engagement. But any devotee who enters the kingdom of God by transcendental engagement of his senses and devotional service, and who associates with the liberated souls and the personality of Godhead there, will never be attracted to the limited surroundings of the material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, 8.15, also the same is confirmed, as the Lord says, the great Mahatmas, or the Bhakti Yogis, after attaining my association, never come back to the material world, which is full of miseries and is not non-permanent. The highest perfection of life, therefore, is to attain his association and nothing else. The Bhakti Yogi, being completely engaged in the Lord's service, has no attraction for any other process of liberation like jnana or yoga. A pure devotee is a 100% devotee of the Lord and nothing more. We should further note in this verse the two words shantam and anandam, which denote that devotional service of the Lord can really bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, namely peace and satisfaction. The impersonalist is desirous of becoming one with the Supreme, or in other words, he wants to become the Supreme. This is a myth only. The mystic yogis become encumbered by various mystic powers and so have neither peace nor satisfaction. So neither the impersonalist nor the yogi can have real peace and satisfaction. But the devotee can become fully peaceful and satisfied because of his association with the complete whole. Therefore, merging in the absolute or attaining some mystic powers has no attraction for the devotee. Attainment of love of Godhead means complete freedom from all other attractions. The conditioned soul has many aspirations, such as becoming a religious man, a rich man, or a first-class enjoyer, or becoming God himself, or becoming powerful like the mystics and acting wonderfully by getting anything or doing anything. But all these aspirations should be rejected by the prospective devotee, who actually wants to revive his dormant love of God. The impure devotee aspires after all the above mentioned material things by perfection of devotion. But a pure devotee has none of the tinges of the above contaminations, which are the influence of material desires, impersonal speculations, and attainment of mystic powers. One can attain the stage of love of God by pure devotional service, or by a learned labor of love. For the sake of the devotee's lovable object, the personality of Godhead. To be more clear, if one wants to attain the stage of love of Godhead, he must give up all desires for material enjoyment, he should refrain from worshipping any of the demigods, and he should devote himself only to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must give up the foolish idea of becoming one with the Lord, and the desire to have some wonderful powers, just to get the ephemeral adoration of the world. The pure devotee is only favorably engaged in the service of the Lord, without any hope of emolument. This will bring about love of Godhead, or the stage of Shantam and Anandam, as stated in this verse. Omagyan Timadandasya Genunjan Shalakaya Chakshunalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kaupata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Petitunam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a long purport by Srila Prabhupada in this section. So, the second chapter we've described previously is describing the yoga path, how to become perfect through yoga practice. So we just discussed in previous classes we are also yogis. We are called bhakti yogis. So many of these instructions are applicable to us. We can dovetail these instructions in Krishna consciousness or in bhakti yoga like that. So here it is saying that only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness. What is our goal? What are we doing? Why are we here? Why did we join ISKCON? Why are we practicing devotional service? Why are we performing tapasya? What are you doing all of this for? What is your goal? What is your prayojana? Prayojana means the goal of your life. What is the goal of your life? Why are you doing this? What's that? So you want to love Krishna. That's the goal. Well, we want to have love. Just come forward so there's room there. This is not Howrah Station. Just come forward. So, we are to reawaken our love for Krishna. That is our goal. Lord Chaitanya, in his teachings, he says that the Vedas have three subject matters. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So, throughout the Vedas, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of the Vedas, there are three subject matters. Right? Sambandha means our relationship with Krishna and our relationship with everything in Krishna's creation. Abhideya means the process of how to reach Krishna, and Prayojana means the goal, what we're aiming for. So Lord Chaitanya says, Krishna Sambandha. If you want to understand Sambandha, the relationship, you have to understand Krishna. You have to understand Krishna and Krishna's energies equally. Then you can understand Sambandha. And then you understand your position in relationship to God, your position in relation to God's creation, your position in Krishna's relation in relationship with his own creation. This is Sambandha Gyan. So Krishna's Sambandha. And then Bhakti Abhideya. Lord Chaitanya says the process is bhakti. To understand God, you have to have devotion. Just like we see in this world, there are many religious paths. We are not the only way to God. There are other people who are also traveling towards God. There are Christians, there are Muslims, there are
Jews.
There are Vaishnavas. Different types of Vaishnavas are there. So there are different paths which are leading to God. So what is the essence of all of those paths? It is bhakti. It is devotion. If someone genuinely has bhakti or devotion to Krishna, to God, they will begin to realize him. If they pray sincerely, they begin to realize. Just like you see the Christians. You meet some people who are Christian and they are very devout. They have very deep God consciousness and they're very devoted to Krishna, to God, like that. So that is bhakti. It is not as evolved as the Vedic system of bhakti. It is called, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it is a non-sampradayic type of bhakti. It is not like a sampradayic bhakti or what one that's coming from the Vedic path. It's coming outside the Vedic path. But it is still, it has genuine devotion in it. And because of that, they will go closer to God. Even when Prabhupada went to Tehran, which is in Iran, and he was there in the afternoon, and in the afternoon, there were sounds within the city around about 5 in the afternoon when the sun was setting, and you could hear goats, and the goats were crying out. So Prabhupada said, what is that? And the devotees there, they explained to Prabhupada, at this time of the day, they slit the goat's throat. They kill the goats. So they would eat the goats. They do it at sunset. That is their life, their tradition. And it says that the blood, apparently in the Quran, it says that the blood of the goat must run to the east. So when the sun is setting and they come, then the blood must run to the east. And Prabhupada said, at least they are following something. Not that Prabhupada was approving it. They said, at least there is some respect for something above them. The law of the Quran. So they make some progress. But they also go backwards because it's tamasic. So it's like they're going forward and back like that. So it's not Vedic. It doesn't lead you to... Prabhupada said the furthest the Christians can go is Swarga, the heavenly planets. Prabhupada said they can take birth in heaven. They can't go to Goloka or Vaikuntha. The only way to Goloka or Vaikuntha, you have to follow the Vaishnava path through one of the four bona fide sampradayas. Then you can go to Goloka or to Vaikuntha. So, Lord Chaitanya says, bhakti abhideya. The process to realize God is bhakti. And then he says, prema prayojana. Or in other words, the goal of life is prema. That is what we're aiming for. Lord Chaitanya doesn't say Krishna prayojana. He doesn't say the goal is Krishna. He says the goal is love for Krishna. It is prema. Because if you have love for Krishna, you will get Krishna. But if you try to get Krishna without love for him, then you will not get him. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, don't you try to see Krishna, but you act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So this is bhakti. If you have love for Krishna, Krishna will want to see you. If you are serving Krishna very sincerely, very nicely, Krishna becomes very interested. Oh, who is that devotee? And Srila Prabhupada says that don't try to approach Krishna directly, but approach Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada says that if you pass a flower to Radharani and you say, Radharani, please give this to your Krishna, then she will offer the flower to Krishna. And because she is offering the flower and she says, Krishna, this is coming from your devotee,
this devotee is even better than me, please accept this devotee. Then, Prabhupada says, then Krishna will accept us. So that is our philosophy. Gopi Bhatu, Pada Kamaliyo, Dasa Dasa, Anudasa. We don't think we can directly approach Krishna. We don't even think we can directly approach Radha. We think we can directly approach our spiritual master. And the spiritual master will pass our service through the parampara, through the disciplic succession, towards Krishna, to Radharani and then to Krishna. That is how we will approach. So that is the system. So in order to attain the goal of life is love for Krishna. That is the goal. So everything in our life has to be heading towards that. Everything we do has to be heading towards love for Krishna. Just like one devotee was telling me recently, Burujan Prabhu said that just like when a ship is going across the ocean, sometimes it's traveling across the ocean, sometimes it may go off to the east or go off to the west. But then later on, they at night time, this is how they did in the old days. How would they get from England to Australia? 150 years ago, the boats were coming from England to Australia. There were no planes. How would they get? So at night time, when the evening was there, they'd look at all the stars, and then they would look at the Southern Cross or the North Star. There are certain stars which stay fixed in the sky. And then they would calculate the direction, and then they would work out where they're going. Right? And they would have a compass, and the compass would say, okay. So, I mean, imagine if you got in a boat now in England, and you had to sail in a sailboat to Australia with a compass. How would you go? Right? This is how they used to do it. It was a science. They always got here. They always got to Australia. You know, it was a great science. These days, everything is computerized. You know, when they fly a plane, if you get in a plane and you go from here to Singapore, which takes like, say, 7 hours, the pilot, the pilots in the plane, they actually physically fly the plane only for 3 minutes. The rest is computer. Right? Once you get, you know, once you're taking off, minute and a half, that's the pilot, and then the computer takes over and just goes, you know, up, down, faster, slower, like that. Computer does the rest. Right? And then when they land, the pilot lands. Right? But in the old days, everything was done by your brain. Right? That's the problem in Kali Yuga. People aren't using the brain enough anymore. Right? When you have to add up 6 plus 12, you have to get a calculator. What is 6 plus 12? Like that. Right? But in the old days, no one used calculator. Everyone had to use the brain. That's why in Kali Yuga everything is becoming degenerated. Why? Because people are lazy. I have to get something from 7-Eleven down on Kerford Road. What's the next one called? Victoria Avenue. I have to get something. So I get in the car and I drive down to 7-Eleven, get out, get something, and then drive back to the temple. That's lazy. Just like sometimes I stay at devotees' houses, which are like, you know, Victoria Avenue or something like that. It takes 6 minutes to walk to the temple. So I'm walking out the door and they say, Prabhu, I'll drive you, I'll drive you. Prabhu, I'll drive you. Please, I'll drive you. And I say, yeah, please, drive me, because I might die if I have to walk. 6 minutes, it might kill me. You know. Or recently, one devotee, we're at my brother's house on the farm, which is about a kilometre from my house, 200 kilometres. About a kilometre and a half, or 1.6. So it's not far. It's like, you know, 15 minutes walk or something. So the devotee was there, and he said, I have to go back. I said, okay, go back, walk, like that. And then, it was my other brother, actually. He said to me, you're going to make him walk? You're going to make him walk for 15 minutes? What sort of a person are you? And I said, well, obviously I care about him more than you, because right? I want him to exercise. You know, you're in the country. I mean, go and enjoy it's a beautiful place. Why get in the car? Go, you can walk very nicely. The birds are there. And then Prabhupada would go for a morning walk every morning. Right? Royal Botanical Gardens. Right? Prabhupada walked all through those gardens. If you haven't been there, you should go there. It's a holy tirtha. Prabhupada said these are some of the most beautiful gardens in the world. The botanical gardens in Melbourne, very beautiful. Extremely beautiful. Prabhupada's walked all the way through them. Right? So Prabhupada was walking every morning. Now, Prabhupada didn't go for the morning drive. You know, come on, Harry, sorry, let's go for a drive. You know, no, Prabhupada went for the walk. Right? Because it refreshes. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, walking in parks and open places, it refreshes the mind. And that's why people in Kali Yuga are so disturbed and anxious, because they don't refresh the mind, they go into nature. Humans are meant to live in nature, we're not meant to live in cities. This is artificial. There's only one reason why we live in cities. Why is that? To preach Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we have no business here. This is demoniac. Living in concrete. Where in the Vedas does it say concrete? Everything in the Vedas is. Even the cities in the Vedas were beautiful. Even the cities were pleasing to the mind. Just like we're building that new temple in Mayapur. Yeah, unfortunately out of concrete because it's Kali Yuga, but when you go there, it'll be pleasing to the mind. You know, Vedic architecture. You know, this is the way that the Vedic civilization was. So, what was I talking about? What was the point I was making?
Prema.
Yeah, the goal is love for Krishna. But how did that relate to going for walks in parks? I've only eaten once in the last 2 days, so my brain's floating like that. So, what was I talking about?
Lazy.
Yeah, people are lazy in Kali Yuga. People are really lazy in Kali Yuga. I can't remember the point. What was the point? Prema. Can you remember what I was talking about?
You were getting
what was the three?
Some identity.
What is it?
People follow religion.
Does anyone actually? I mean, I don't know what I was talking about, but do any of you actually know what I was talking about?
Someone was asking back in the day how they would use their brain to calculate.
To go from.
From
yeah,
here.
That's how I got onto it. But why did I say that? What was the point? No, that's a good point.
Yoga and devotional work. We are also yogis.
Yeah. If people have some devotion, you mentioned it earlier, they have an element of yoga that also takes them to Krishna.
Yeah, that was earlier. I was making that point. Okay. In my life, I've never eaten once in 2 days. In my whole life. First time I've only ate once in the last 2 days. Because I fasted one day and then yesterday I ran out of time, so I ate once. The first time I'll ever. My brain is not working. So don't do this before you get class. Is my advice. Like that. Okay. So, well, what you do, if you are giving a class and you forget your point, if you can't get it again, sometimes just keep talking until you find the point again and then go back to the point. Sometimes it just floats back in. But if you can't, then just stop and then just start again. Like that. Pick up another point and just go fresh. Because I can't remember the link at this point in time. I'm sorry. I apologise. It's just because my brain's not working properly. Okay. So, Prabhupada is explaining that the Bhagavat philosophy, it is superior to the other philosophies. Why? Because it leads directly to Krishna. Whereas the impersonalistic philosophy, right, it leads to a lower state of realization. Now, Prabhupada said he was up in this room, just up here, and he explained this situation. That if people go to the Brahma Jyoti to the impersonal, they will come back again. And the Bhagavatam is directly saying in this verse, and Krishna says several times in the Bhagavad Gita, that one who reaches Vaikuntha or reaches Goloka will never take birth again in this material world. He will never come again. Now, Prabhupada explained, why is it that sometimes it is said we come from the Brahma Jyoti? Right, sometimes we hear this. And even in ISKCON, even in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, sometimes there are debates amongst devotees about, did we come from Krishna or did we come from the Brahma Jyoti? So Madhadwiza Prabhu, he was in Melbourne, I think it was just up here in the room, and he was questioning Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, sometimes it explains we come from Brahma Jyoti, and sometimes it explains we come from Goloka, so which is true? Right? And Prabhupada's explanation was, originally we come from Krishna. And Prabhupada says that in this purport. Although Prabhupada does say in other purports in the Bhagavatam, he does say the opposite. He says no one falls from Vaikuntha. He said even the leaves do not fall from Vaikuntha. So he does make contradictory statements. But generally, Srila Prabhupada would say, we came from Goloka or Vaikuntha. Now, Prabhupada explained to Madhadwiza Prabhu that originally we were with Krishna. We left Krishna, came to this material world. Then after being in the material world, we may become a Brahmavadi and merge into the Brahman effulgence. And then after merging into the Brahman effulgence, then we may come back again. And then after being here again, then we go back to Goloka. So Prabhupada said, in that respect, you can say we came from the Brahma Jyoti. But not originally. Originally we were with Krishna. And Prabhupada is saying that here. Originally we were with Krishna. Prabhupada said the vast majority of creation, of the jivas in creation, never leave Krishna. We have to understand that we are in the minority. Just like in Melbourne, there are several prisons. Right? If you go towards the farm, you get to... where is it?
Lara.
Yeah, Lara. Around about that area. Then there is a few prisons, Barwon prison and another prison, which is that. So the minority of society in Victoria are in the prisons. Right? So similarly, at this point in time, we are in the minority. We're not in the majority. Right? We are not the sensible people in society at this point in time. We are the outcasts or we are the prisoners. We are in Durga's Dham, or Devi Dham, according to the Brahma Samhita. We're not in the original abode. We are in the reformatory center. So when you become purified once again, you can go back to the spiritual world. And Krishna says, you will never come back again. Krishna says twice in the Bhagavad Gita, you will not come back again. Right? If you go back to the spiritual world, you'll not come back again. So Revati Nandan Prabhu, who was Srila Prabhupada's disciple, he once asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, it says that you can, once you go, you will not come back again. But he said, is it possible? He said, do some jivas sometimes come back? Then Prabhupada thought about it, and then Prabhupada said, it is possible, but it does not happen. And Prabhupada said, once burnt, twice shy. Just like in your life, you will only touch fire once. Right? You know, if you're sensible. Right? You'll only touch it once. And then after that, like, usually when we're a kid, usually we touch something hot. Right? We remember that our whole life and we never do it again. Right there, if we're sensible. So generally, the jiva, he will only come to the material world once. And then, if he ever thinks of going again, Krishna will give him darshan. Krishna will say, okay, do you remember last time? Right? And when you remember the whole thing, then you think, it is not worth it. I don't want to go through it all again. So we are in the minority. At this point in time, the Gaudiya tradition, our tradition, it explains in different ways what's going on. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says that there is the story of Gopakumar. And it explains that when Gopakumar finally gets back to Goloka, back to Krishna, Krishna sees him and they run towards each other and they embrace each other. And Krishna states at that time, he says, I've not seen you for a long time. So sometimes it's described like that in our tradition, that we're away from Krishna for, it seems like, a long time. And then eventually we come back, and then Krishna sees us, and he's so happy that he runs and he embraces us. And when Gopakumar and Krishna are embraced in the Briha Bhagavatamrita, they're in so much ecstasy to embrace each other once again, they both fainted. And all the cowherd boys, they thought, who is this boy? You know, he just ran in, this Gopa, and he just embraced Krishna. Now both of them are unconscious. So they woke both of them up. And then Krishna introduced Gopakumar. He said, this is Gopakumar. He's one of my eternal associates. He's one of our friends. He's been away for some time, but now he's with us. And so all the cowherd boys said, okay. And then he entered the pastimes. Other times, the Gaudiya Acharyas, they explain that right now we are with Krishna. And even Prabhupada indicates that sometimes. We are with Krishna now. So how do we explain that? Do you feel like you're with Krishna right now? Do you feel like you're with him right now? No, we feel like we're a long way. So how could we be with him now? So sometimes the Gaudiya Acharyas, they explain that we're with Krishna in the pastimes right now. But what happens is somehow we get a slight inkling to misuse our independence, or a little bit of envy comes into our consciousness. So we're looking at Krishna, we're with him right now, but when that little bit of independence becomes misused and become just a slightly envious, we just turn away from Krishna. And then after millions of lifetimes in the material world, we turn back. So all what we're going through now, these millions of lives in the spiritual world, they only go for a moment. We're with Krishna, we just turn away, and then all that happens, and then we just turn back, and then that's it. And Krishna just must look at us and just say, okay, you finished now? Huh? Is that enough? Huh? You satisfied with that? Like that. So either way, we're away from Krishna now. But Prabhupada says, when we go back, we will never return. So that is very comforting. That we will not return back here. Hands up if you want to come back to the material world again. We all say that, but we're all still attached to the material world. Which one? You want to come back again? Yeah? You're the only honest guy.
I have to.
You have to. You don't have to.
I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah. You're the only honest person in this whole room. Everyone else says they don't want to come back here again, but the fact is we all want to come back here again. Because today we'll get into Maya. Right? Today in our consciousness we will contemplate sense gratification. Vishaya. Vishaya Charya. Every one of us today will contemplate sense gratification. Every one of us will fall down in our mind to sense gratification today. Through attraction to the opposite sex. Maituni Bhavam. Which the Bhagavatam speaks about. Every one of us will do that. So therefore, we all say, I don't want to stay in this material world. But the fact is, you do. And until you give up that tendency for sense gratification to be separate from Krishna, we can't go back to the spiritual world. So then everyone looks at the speaker at this point in the class with depressed looks on their face. So Prabhupada said the same thing. Prabhupada was giving a class. It's a very famous pastime. Prabhupada was giving the class. And Prabhupada said, if you're not 100%, 100% pure, you cannot go back to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada finished class and Prabhupada got off the Vyasasana. He looked at everyone and everyone was depressed. So Prabhupada said, 90%. Right? And then he took one step, like he was walking down. He took one step and he looked, everyone was still very depressed. Prabhupada said, 80%. And everyone was still looking very dejected. And Prabhupada took his chala and he threw it over his shoulder. He said, 70%, but not less. And then he walked out.
He
said 75? No, 70. 70%, he said, but not less. So that is a great benediction. That if we can get to 70, which is hard work, that's not easy. That means we have to become very serious in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said he will cover the other 30. Prabhupada said if we follow four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds every day, which is not easy in Kali Yuga, right? If you can do that, it means sincerely, Right? If you can do that, Prabhupada said, I will take you back to Godhead. So if we are serious and sincere, Prabhupada will cover whatever is, Lord Chaitanya will cover whatever is lacking. So, it says here that there are certain things which stop us from entering back into the spiritual world. Prabhupada says in the final paragraph. He says, desire for material enjoyment. Does anyone have a problem with that? One honest guy. We all have desire for material enjoyment. That's what's keeping us here. That's called karma. Right? And then it says, we should refrain from worshipping demigods. Have you given up worshipping demigods? No? What are you doing in this God? We should give up worshipping demigods. But demigods in Kali Yuga doesn't mean demigods. It does. But it also means rock stars, sports stars, movie stars. They're the demigods now in Kali Yuga. Right? In India, everyone worships Aishwarya Roy. And what's the guy's name? Khan? Yeah, Khan. Like, everyone worships these guys. How do you even know these things? We should not even know the names of these materials. So everyone worships like that. Everyone worships these people. In India they worship Bollywood. In the West we worship Hollywood. Right, it's the same thing. Hollywood, Bollywood, it's the same thing. So everyone has their... Really? That's bad. I could tell some stories about that, but I haven't got time. There's other examples. You know, they worship Australian cricket players. And India really does crazy stuff. India just takes it to another level in everything. They just have to take it to the next level. Like, you can't just turn the radio or the sound system on. You have to turn it on full blast. That's India. Whatever they do, it just goes... Just hard to understand. I mean, I'm Indian myself. I spend, you know, a lot of my life in India. I spent more than 2 years of my life in India, but, and you know, it's my home. But yeah, there needs to be some adjustments. They need to learn to turn the volume down. That's another subject matter. So it says here, you have to stop material desires. You have to stop worshipping demigods, right? And then Prabhupada says, one must give up the foolish idea of becoming one with Krishna. Have you given up that idea? Prabhupada says, the foolish idea of becoming one with Krishna. Have you given that up? In one sense, we haven't. Right? Maybe we're not Mayavadis, not that we want to merge into Krishna, but we're actually competing with Krishna at this point in time. We're Krishna's competitor. Right? We're not doing a very good job. Right? We're losing the competition, but we are trying to compete with it. Right? We're trying to put ourselves in the center, right, as opposed to Krishna, right, which is foolish. Prabhupada said the foolish notion, but that's our consciousness. Our consciousness is we're trying to be the center, not Krishna. Like that. So we have to give up that false ego, right, and just become Krishna's servant. Jivara Svarupahoi Krishnara Nichidas. And then Prabhupada says, the desire to have some wonderful powers. Have you given up this desire? To have mystic potencies? Wouldn't it be far out? Just that mystic potency, that would be far out. Have you given up that desire? We probably don't think about it so much. Yeah. We actually do have mystic potencies in Kali Yuga. Right? Have you got an iPhone? That's mystic power. Right? Have you ever been in a plane? That's mystic power. You know, you can fly, right? Or an iPhone, you can talk to someone who's on another side of the planet. That's mystic. Right? It's demoniac. It's a demoniac. Or it's the Asuric way of imitating mystic powers or mystic shakti, like that yoga siddhis. No? Because they don't do the austerity to attain the siddhis. Then they work out some mechanical way to do it, but it's mysticism. Like that. So we have these desires to have mystic powers. Like that. And then Prabhupada says, finally, the desire to get adoration from the world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of all of the anattas, because these are anattas, all of the anattas, he said the hardest anatta to give up is pratishtha. Pratishtha means adoration. Right? Very difficult for us to give up the desire to be adored by the world. Right? We all want to be adored. Right? We all want to be prominent. Very difficult to give that up. So this is what is holding us back from going back to Krishna. So Prabhupada said that if you want to go back to Krishna, you have to give up these desires, at least 70%. It's very hard to try. And then Krishna will give us some mercy and we can go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop here. I apologize that my class was disjointed because my brain is currently disjointed. After breakfast, I may get a better class. Thank you for tolerating me. I'm not normally so disjointed, but today I was. Actually, I had no idea what I was talking about half the time. But not that. Thank you for tolerating. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
I remember to point that.
What was it?
You said that Krishna is the love of Krishna is the God, and all our activities have to be directed to that.
And that's why I got into how you have to navigate from the other side of the world. Yeah. Why didn't you remind me when I said
that?
Can you please repeat what the class was about? He was saying, what I was saying is that we have to understand what our goal is. I was speaking about prayojana, the goal, and that's when I started talking about going from England to, you have to understand your goal. Sometimes the ship goes off course. If I hadn't remembered that, then I couldn't have kept going. Thank you, Tito. You always save me. Sometimes a little bit late, but... Any other question? Comment?
Prabhupada, like you mentioned, when Gopi Kumar went to Krishna and Krishna embraced him, and his mood was like as a friend. What happened when some other devotees, like there is other rashas with them, Vasya, Vasya, Mahavira? So, how Krishna received them when they?
When they go, yeah, it's in Madhurya Kadambi. You know that book? Madhurya, yeah, it mentions. It says the Dasya, actually maybe it doesn't say Dasya, but it says the Sakya. It says that he sees Krishna, and it says when the devotee sees Krishna, he faints. This is what first thing that happens. When we get back to Goloka, the first thing we do is faint. It says that. Because you see him again. Because leading up to when you see him in spurti, which means momentarily, he keeps appearing, but then he keeps disappearing. Like in the first canto, you see in the fifth chapter, Narada, he sees Krishna, and then he's gone. So it says the devotee keeps seeing, but then finally you see him, and he doesn't disappear. He just stays there. And you see him, and you can't believe it, and then you faint. So then he wakes you up. So it says the... Sakya Ras, which means the friends, he picks them up and embraces them. Right? And then it says the Vatsalya Ras, he picks them up and he's like stroking on the head. Like that. Like parent. Like that. And there's the Madhurya Ras, then he kisses them. And the kiss brings them back to consciousness. So this is the system. So our goal is to faint. We're doing all of this so that we'll get back and then we'll just go faint on the ground. Like that. So, any other question? Comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.